is afternoon, isn't it? Yep, good afternoon. Let me see. We're going to be looking, well, you know a wee bit, because you've seen a dramatised version of this. It's a wee bit different in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 7, where our main reading will be today, and we'll be focusing on this teaching that Jesus gave sort of at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. And he does lots of twos, which was a popular teaching method at the time. So he does a few different twos, but we'll talk about that after we do the reading. So I'm reading from Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 13. And this is the New Living Translation, in case it's a bit different from your Bible. Okay. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds his house on the rock. Though the rains come in the torrents and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on the bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores its foolishness, like a person who builds his house on the sand, when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. So, as we read that passage, we see these two ways. There was two different ways and two different gates. There are two different trees and two different fruits. There are two different builders, and there are two different foundations. These are the twos that we're going to try and look at a wee bit today. By the way, Lindsay told me you finish at 4. That's changed since my day. So he's already for the to 4. No, I'm only kidding. So we have a look at this. We'll start with the two ways and the gates. But I just want to highlight that last verse, which I think is really good, because it talks about the Lord Jesus having authority, his own authority, you know, because it was the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. He has his own authority, whereas the teachers of the time had started to come across with, well, this Pharisee from whenever year said this. And they started to put an importance on that. Now, we still do that with great Christians who have led a great example. but they were doing it and misusing that over the word of God. So the fact that it says at the end, he didn't have to use anyone else's words to give him authority. He had his own authority because he was God's chosen one, his son. I should give context as well. These verses principally deal with discipleship and not salvation. You can apply these verses to salvation, but in the context of the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, it is really about discipleship. That's the context, but we can apply it for salvation as well. So anyway, two ways and two gates. The narrow gate and the narrow way. The narrow way is Christ. We see this in the Bible when in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the gate," or "I am the door." I am the gate. And even if you look round about here, you'll see a few of these I ams. I am the way, the truth, the life. Most people, they follow the broad way. And it isn't just filled with obvious sinners. And you say, well, what do you mean by obvious sinners, you know? What do you mean by that? Well, it's just regular people follow this broad way. Respectable people. People that might even come across as nicer or more respectable than me or you, but they can be on this broad path. We find that in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, when it says, "There is a path before each person which seems right to a man." It seems right, but it ends in death. People walk along that broad road unaware that they're going to death. We can see it's quite clear, the application here for salvation. We see that broad road of destruction, not being a Christian, not knowing Jesus as your saviour. That's the sort of salvation application that we can put in this. But the Lord Jesus is really talking about righteous living, as in Christians like you and I, if you're a Christian today. Like you and I, we can choose these paths. We can be a follower of Christ, but slip our way onto that broad road of the world, of its ways. An American Bible teacher who I listened to online, he's actually dead now, but a lot of his sermons are up there available for free. His name is Dave Reed, and he said it like this: "We have one life to live, but one life to give." You get that? One life to live, one life to give. So we give our whole life to God, to Christ. We see from these verses 13 and 14, that following Christ is not always the easy option. People think, so many of y'all know me, and if you don't, I came to the Sunday school here at Bethany and came to the church for many years and got saved through here. My family are not saved. They don't go to church. They don't believe in Christ. My dad, quite often when you're growing up, because you can't hide anything from your parents, your parents know what you're like when you're young. Quite often, if I'd done something wrong, he would say, "And you." And I knew it would be coming. "And you are meant to be a Christian." "You are meant to be a Christian. Oh, everything's meant to be good for you. That's you're doing this thing for this God. Everything should be great in your life." But that's just not what the Bible teaches us. It teaches us that we will have trials, that we'll have tribulations. So verses 13 and 14, following Christ is not the easy option. It's hard to be on the narrow road. It's easy to be on that narrow road and just drift off onto that broad road. Sometimes we don't even really realise it. Verses 15 to 20, they cover the two trees and the two fruits. And I'll not say as much on this, but it's warning us against false prophets that they can do miracles in Jesus' name. Verse 22. These people done miracles in Jesus' name, but they were never saved. Get your head around that. And we know that they're never saved because the Lord Jesus says, one day they'll call on his name and he'll say, I've never known you. So we've not to get caught up in people who are great communicators. You know, you could have many a person up here who's a better communicator than I am. And to listen to is enticing. You know, maybe you're falling asleep listening to me. But you could have someone who could have you on the edge of their seat and you're wowed by their words. But these verses are telling us to be wary of all people. That people can appear to be good, but when they meet the Lord, he'll say he doesn't know them. It's quite a scary thought, that, actually. But they're known by their fruits. They are known by their fruits. So what is the fruits in our life that we should be known by? If we're a Christian today, what is the fruits that we know we should be known by? We should be known by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's easy to rhyme off them, isn't it? It's easy to say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are we living that out in our life? And how do we live that out in our life all the time? Because we're not perfect like Christ. But what these verses are saying in verse 16, when they say that they are known by their fruits, it's saying that you'll be able to tell. You know, we'll get on to it as we go on to the builders and the foundations, but you know, you can make a lovely building. You know, the wee cartoon, one guy's up in the rock and he's building this, he builds quite a nice house. Another guy down the sand, he builds quite a nice house as well. You walk by a building in Paisley, two new buildings made. You could walk by, or in Glasgow, and you can say, oh, wow, they both look amazing. Things can appear to look really good, but as we're now going to get into, there are two builders and two foundations, okay? I've jumped ahead there. But these verses, verses 15 to 22, are a warning to the disciples against those who appear to be disciples but are not. And also a warning to those who deceive themselves to think that they are disciples but they are not, because their hearts don't belong to the Lord. And that's a hard challenge to come by when you read these verses. Does your heart truly belong to the Lord Jesus? Think on that. Verses 24 to 29, we see the two builders and the two foundations. Again, this can be applied to salvation, how we get to heaven. But the context of the passage is discipleship, so it's a challenge for Christians as well. So if you're all Christians here today, that's great. If you're not, then we can trust in Christ, build our foundation on Christ. But if you're already a Christian today, it never really was a question of digging a foundation, but it's choosing where to dig, isn't it? Both of them built a foundation, but it's choosing where to dig. Do we dig on the foundation already laid by Christ? Or do we dig wherever we want, put our own foundation on, and do it wherever? There's only one choice, There aren't two choices in this passage. It's Christ, rock, and the sand. That's your choices. Christ, the rock, or the sand. If you're not on Christ, the rock, you are on the sand. I've already said, you know, when you see the wee video, or when you think of this this parable that Jesus used, it makes you think of the old song, you know, the waves came down and the floods came up and everything comes crashing down for the house in the sand. You know, there's no difference in what they look like, but it's what's underneath, it's what it's built upon. The storms of life, you know, the storm that comes in the story that brings the house down, can talk of the storms of life for many of us, because things happen to us and we can't see God in it sometimes, because we get ourselves so distracted and pulled away. And then, or it could be seen as future judgment, because we can fool ourselves, we can fool other people, but when we meet Christ, we can't fool Christ in our life. When we face future judgment, which we will, there's no getting around that judgment. Whenever we get judgment, I don't know about yourself, if anyone ever calls me out for anything that I'm doing wrong in my life, you know, the automatic thing as a person is to try and like justify, or even go, who are you to say that to me, because you do this and you do that, you're not perfect, because none of us are perfect. We won't be fully perfect, made perfect, until we're in heaven. But the Lord, he does the work in us, and when we come to see him face to face, he is perfect. Pick out a flaw. Not one of us can pick out that flaw. There are some verses in James chapter 1 talking about this application of doing what God says. So James chapter 1 verse 22 says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must